Welcome to Music Journeys. I'm Mike Foley. On this edition, we feature Kenny Wayne Shepherd, who details the inspiration behind his latest release, Dirt on My Diamonds, Volume 1. He also shares how the love of music began with his father at a radio station, and the message from Stevie Ray Vaughan that he still thinks about today. Kenny Wayne Shepherd, our featured guest on this edition of Music Journeys. Thanks for listening.
Hey, this is Kenny Wayne Shepherd, and this is my music journey.
My Mind may conclude the 8-track Dirt on My Diamonds Volume 1 release from Kenny Wayne Shepherd, but it's not the end of his latest music project.
It is called Volume 1 for a reason. There is a Volume 2 that's going to be coming out. That one's already finished. It's recorded. It's ready to go. So we're just trying to figure out when the right time is to release that. It's a good time, you know, for us to be doing what we're doing because we got a lot of music in the pipeline, and that keeps us out on the road doing what we love to do best.
It rains too much or not at all. You build it up just to watch it fall. Work and work and work some more. Living on credit at the grocery store and the repo man knocking at your door. So I sweat on my red bandana.
I grew up around a radio station. My dad was a program director, general manager, and on-air personality at like the hottest radio stations in my hometown in Shreveport, Louisiana. So, I mean, I grew up going to every concert that came through town because he always had tickets and got to meet all the bands because he had backstage passes and, you know, went to the radio station with him on a regular basis. I'd go with him. When he did the morning show, I'd go with him before school and I would like pull his music and his spots for the hour. And I would run the board while he's working the microphone and stuff, you know, nonstop surrounded by music my whole life, and had kind of a glimpse into, you know, the behind the scenes of the touring industry as a result of that. And so who knew that I was absorbing all that and it was going to all contribute to who I ended up becoming as an artist myself.
What are some things that you absorbed in that you can recall that helped you moving forward?
Well, I think it was seeing so many concerts is what helped me to understand what it takes to put on a good show myself, you know. And then, you know, I don't know, just seeing how being part of the meet and greet process and being at a radio station where artists would come by and do interviews, I think that set me up for the ability to do interviews well at a very young age. You know, I signed my record deal when I was 16 years old and I started doing interviews really young, and I was kind of a natural at it because I had been around it so much. And my dad's radio show, just knowing how dead air is a big no-no, and it can seem like 5-10 seconds of dead air can seem like an eternity. And so doing segues and, you know, him coming up with playlists and stuff, you know, and how the music works going from one song to the next. That all helps me create my own set lists and my own concert and the pacing of the music and the show for the fans. So, I mean, all of that stuff really has had a tremendous impact on, you know, who I am as an artist.
That's wonderful. You know, so it's one thing, though, to take all that in. What was it that inspired you to kind of take that love, maybe that curiosity, all those sounds, and say, I want to record, I want to perform, I want to try this out and carve my own path?
Well, I was playing at like 4, but I got my first electric guitar at age 7, and that's when I really started playing every single day. And I just loved it. I mean, it gave me something to focus on. It was kind of therapeutic for me. It was, you know, I just enjoyed it. And then it just turned into something where, you know, one day a friend of my dad's actually saw me playing guitar, and this guy was a promotion guy working for Sony at the time, but he had been a record producer back in the day, produced albums on Ambrosia and stuff. And he saw me playing guitar, and he asked my dad if anybody had ever considered taking me in the studio and recording some music with me playing guitar. And that was kind of the beginning of it. I was 13 years old. And that's when the first time it really crossed my mind to do something like that. And things kind of snowballed from there. I mean, I did my demos. I think I was 14 when we finally recorded those demos. Then I put my own band together at age 15, and I signed my record deal at 16. You know, nobody's ever truly self-taught. Like, I had people show me some things. Like, we had a family friend named Tommy Kramer that played guitar, and he'd come and sit. He showed me how to work on my vibrato, and he showed me, like, the pentatonic scale and things like that. And we actually had a class. I don't even know if any schools have this anymore, but in my middle school, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, we had a guitar class, so I took that. But I was already I had already been playing for years up to that point. So it wasn't that I was learning a whole lot, but it was a fun class to have. But for the most part, I mean, I'm the guy that sat in the room alone for hours and hours and hours learning things the hard way, like learning how to play songs by ear, one note and one chord at a time from beginning to end until I would like memorize the whole song from start to finish. Originally, it was cassette tapes, right? So start at the beginning of the song, you hit play, you hear the first note, you find that note on the guitar, then you rewind it back to the beginning of the song, and you play it, you know, and you listen to the first and second note, and then you figure those two out, put those together, rinse and repeat, right? So it's constant, like, rewind, play, rewind, play, rewind, play, until you go from the beginning of the song to the end of the song, stitching all the notes together. And, you know, the repetitive nature of that is what helps kind of embed it into the brain. And then by the time I made it to the end of the song, I kind of had it memorized, and then I would just play it. And then at some point after doing that with enough songs, all of a sudden one day things just started to make sense. I could look at the instrument in a different way, and it started to make sense.
Well, sure tastes good here on my lips. Don't believe in wasting time.
Every album is a kind of moment in time for an artist, you know, and so this is who Kenny Wayne Shepherd is in this moment, you know, when this album was recorded. But it's a more contemporary sounding album, but we've experimented with a lot of different genres, a lot of different sounds, you know, on this record, but it's a cohesive album from start to finish. Every song kind of stands on its own, but they are connected. And so it's a great body of material. We put 8 songs on it. There's no filler in there. I think every song is a good song on its own, in its own right. But yeah, you hear a little bit of everything. I mean, it's the blues is always, as usual, the common thread. It's the foundation of all the music. And then some rock a little harder, some are a little softer, some are, you know, you got some ballads, you got some barn burners, you got some bluesy ones, you know, it's like in everything in between. You hear some R&B, you might hear a little country influence, you got rock and roll in there, you got blues. It's like, you know, I'm from Louisiana, so it's like gumbo, you know, we just kind of throw it all in there and come out with something in the end that has some spice to it. Well, the title track, Dirt on My Diamonds, we like that one. It kind of has all the elements of, you know, the Kenny Wayne Shepherd Band. It's a rocking song, but it's got a lot of bluesy changes in it. It's got some kind of blazing guitar to it. The vocal's strong. The message is good. I mean, the lyrics are basically like, we need to embrace our flaws. Like, you know, that's what makes us different. That's what makes us unique. You Can't Love Me is kind of a ballad. You know, that's a special song for sure.
We can dance around the kitchen. Around the truth, 'cause you can't love me. No, love don't really care about who you are, who you're not. Yeah, love don't give a damn about what you've done or what you got. Well, I wish that you could see yourself, a girl, the way I do. So let me break it down, 'cause what it really comes down to is you can't love.
And I like Sweet and Low because it has some different production. It kind of has a little bit of a hip-hop beat to it, you know, and some effects that we put in there. Just goes to show how you can take some elements from some different genres and incorporate them into what we're doing and create something new and different.
The one cover on there, what made sense for you to choose that one? What was important about that one?
Well, it was just every once in a while, like you'll be in between songs and it's like you just want to do something that's low pressure and fun. And so I'll whip out a cover song and I'll be like, hey, let's try this one. And on that day, I suggested that we try the Elton John song because I thought we could do a pretty rockin' version of it. And it ended up making it on the record. So I think it's a good version. I mean, I love that song because it's probably Elton John's biggest rock song. And there's a lot of great guitar work by Davey, his guitar player, who's a friend of mine as well. So it was my opportunity to kind of show my appreciation for Davey's guitar work and also for Elton as an artist as he's kind of hanging it up and retiring. And it's a good addition to the record.
How do you think you've evolved from maybe... Gosh, even the time when you first started out, album one or song one, and to now, what do you hear? What do you feel?
You know, I just think that like my theory behind making music and recording music has maintained mostly, it's, you know, the same for the most part, right? Like it's always been about the music. It's always been about what's best for the song. It's always been about writing good songs, telling great stories, having great melodies and choruses that, you know, stick in people's heads and people want to sing along with. But at the same time, providing a good platform for some good guitar work, but not making every song an opportunity to just like show everybody how great I can play guitar. You know, it's like play what's appropriate for the song. But when you're young and you're making a name for yourself, every time you pick up the guitar, you see it as an opportunity to prove yourself that you deserve to be here and that people, you know, should know who you are and should care who you are as an artist. And now that I've been doing it 30 years, it's like I don't feel like I have to prove myself to people anymore. It's just I just want to make great music, you know, that people can appreciate and follow the music where it might lead me instead of just trying to prove something all the time.
Yeah, this six string does my talking for me. Come on, listen, let it tell you a story. And the days and the nights go round and round. Sun comes up and the moon.
in the beginning, it was just a magical thing that I connected with. You know, I loved music. I listened to it all the time. And then playing it, like, gave me something, you know, to work on and pursue. And then creating it gave me something to work towards and pursue. And to try and, you know, become a better person, a better musician, a better artist, better producer, better songwriter, all of these things. And now it's just, music has been so incredible to me. I mean, it's given me just about everything that I have in my life, from, you know, material things to, you know, the children that I have to take care of. And I mean, just my life in general. And so I just don't take it for granted. It's not lost on me, like, the opportunity that I have. I know it's like hitting the lottery and winning the jackpot. It's like, you know, the amount of people that would love to be doing this versus the amount of people that actually are doing it, drastically different numbers, you know. So I just know that I was given an opportunity at a very young age. And then the people that get the opportunity, they're lucky if they have a 5-year long career, you know. And now I've been doing this 30 years and we're still going strong and we're still accomplishing new things on a regular basis and reaching new people. When we do shows, like, sometimes I'll take a survey of the crowd and ask them how many people have seen us before, and about half the room, you know, raises their hand and claps their hands and cheers. And then I say, how many of you guys are seeing us for the very first time? And that's the other half of the room. So, like, half the people every night that are at the shows are still seeing us for the first time. And to me, that's impressive. It's like, we're not preaching just to the choir still. We're still continuing to reach new people 30 years in. And that's incredible.
We had a little more fun with Kenny Wayne Shepherd in the Fast Five. Here we go.
Oh, what's the first song you can remember hearing that you loved?
Wow. You know, I have to say, I don't know, man. Because I've heard so many songs my whole life growing up around a radio station. It's just my whole brain is full of songs. But can I give you an album instead of a song?
Sure.
Okay, so the album, I remember when I was a little kid, the Fandango album by ZZ Top. The vinyl record player in my grandfather's bedroom, and I would put the record on and I would turn the stereo all the way up and I would jump up and down on his bed playing air guitar to that entire record. And I did it so many times that it's still one of my favorite albums of all time.
Oh, that's fantastic. How about the song that makes you feel the most nostalgic, sparks memories for you?
Well, for me, it would actually be one of my own songs, like Blue on Black, for example, because, you know, when I hear that song, it transports me back to a time where, you know, I was 18 years old, 19 years old.
Wrong.
actually takes me back to my childhood, you know, and the early days of my career when we were accomplishing so many things that it was unfathomable for a teenager, you know, and it just puts me back in a place of total gratitude.
Wonderful. How about your go-to song for dancing or a tune you hear and you just can't sit still when you hear it?
Well, I'm not much of a dancer, to my wife's disappointment. So I don't really know. But, you know, if I wanted something that would make me not be able to sit still, it'd be anything by James Brown.
1, 2, 3, 4. Clap your hands.
Yeah.
Stomp your feet.
Yeah.
Get on the line.
Yeah.
Swing on the vine.
Yeah.
Get in the bracket.
Yeah.
You know I like it in the jungle. Get in the bracket.
Yeah.
You know I like it. Come on. Wait a minute. There was a time, a long time ago, we didn't have much, but no, never had much.
And generally, I'll put James Brown on, and it makes me, you want to get up and move to the point that, like, that's my house cleaning music. You put on some James Brown, you'll have a spotless house within an hour.
Hey, maybe I'll play that one for my kids. Does that work on kids?
Yeah, we'll find out. When I was a kid, that's what I would listen to. My mom would be like, it's time for you to clean your room. And so I'd just turn on some James Brown and, you know, that was all I needed.
Kind of along those lines, the song that makes you feel like working out or maybe motivates you to do something you don't feel like doing at the time.
Well, working out would be anything like heavy rock and roll. I'll give a shout out to my buddy Zach and Shinedown. You know, their music will probably get you pumped up to do some working out for sure.
I got a four-letter word, but I don't care. A whole lot of drive to get me there. I've seen a whole lot of wrong, to say the least. Spent a whole lot of time staring down the beast. Keep moving subject, matter around. Keep your eye on the prize and your feet on the ground. Keep moving subject.
Oh, absolutely. Last one, a song that lifts you up when you're feeling down.
Well, one of my go-to songs when I was younger that was always appropriate if I was feeling down or not would be this instrumental song called Lenny that Stevie Ray Vaughan did on his first album, Texas Flood.
Did you meet Stevie Ray?
Yeah, I met him when I was a kid. First time I met him, I was like 7 years old. And I met him several times after that. Last time I saw him face to face, there's a famous picture floating out on the internet that I posted up several years ago of me and my dad and Stevie when I was about 13 years old. It was not long before he passed away. But yeah, he was a massive influence for me. He was one of the main reasons why I picked up the guitar and started playing it.
You know, when you meet somebody like that as a kid, you're sort of in awe. Were you able to soak in something from him that still resonates with you today or has resonated with you over the years?
Yeah, for sure. Seeing him when I was 7 years old and meeting him, witnessing him play was the motivation. That like lit the fire in me that of determination to learn how to play guitar because I wanted to play with that passion and that intensity that he played with, right? And I still carry that with me to this day, but in that photograph, what you can't see I'm holding a guitar. Like in the actual photograph I have here at the house, you can see the headstock of my guitar. But I brought my first Stratocaster to that show, and he autographed it for me. And on the guitar, he wrote, "Dear Kenny, just play it with all your heart, Stevie Ray Vaughan." Right. And so that's the advice that I certainly carry with me every time I walk out on stage and pick up that instrument, is I try and play every single note with my entire heart and soul, because that's what resonates with me and that's what's going to connect with the people.
It sure does. Kenny Wayne Shepherd, thank you so much for your time, and thanks for enriching our lives with your music.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening to 90.5 FM, WCBE Columbus, 106.3 in Newark, online at wcbe.org, and through the new WCBE app. I'm Mike Foley. Talk to you again on the next Music Journey.
Stay up to date on your favorite WCBE podcasts with the WCBE app, available now to download for free on iOS and Android.